Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, December 13th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May continues her Brexit push after surviving a no-confidence vote.
Signs of trade progress as China resumes buying U.S. soybeans.
And it's the end of an era at the ECB as Mario Draghi looks to end the stimulus program.
Michael Cohen says he'll tell what he knows when the Mueller investigation is over. And the National Enquirer agrees to cooperate on the Trump hush money probe. I'm Pat Carroll. More coming up.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees are bringing back pitcher Jay Happ. The Mets doing likewise with Jeurys Familia. The Knicks lost. The Nets won. The Islanders lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And this on a morning when futures in the U.S. point to a higher open. S&P futures right now up 2 points. The Dow futures 5 points higher. The NASDAQ E-mini futures right now 16 points higher. That is up 0.3%. Yield on the benchmark 10-year note in the U.S. 2.89%. The price increasing by about 5/32. British pound sterling this morning up 0.3% against the U.S. dollar at 126.60. And we have spot gold this morning. That right now is high, lower, down $1.15 at $12.44.50. NYMEX crude down 10 cents a barrel. That's down 0.2% at $51.06. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, we begin with survival for Theresa May. The British Prime Minister has won a confidence vote, though more than a third of Conservative lawmakers voted to ditch her.
Whilst I'm grateful for that support, a significant number of colleagues did cast a vote against me, and I've listened to what they said. Following this ballot, we now need to get on with the job of delivering Brexit for the British people and building a better future for this country.
So what's next for the embattled Prime Minister? We begin our team coverage with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts live in London. Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and John. The UK's Prime Minister is safe for another year, at least from her own party. Despite 117 Conservative lawmakers voting against Theresa May, that's more than a third of all her colleagues, party rules mean she cannot be challenged again for 12 months. But with no majority in the British Parliament, she still faces the threat of a vote of confidence in her entire government. And, of course, the UK Prime Minister now has the job of getting her Brexit agreement passed by lawmakers, a clear majority of whom have said they cannot accept the deal. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Now, the next stop for Theresa May before that is Brussels. The British Prime Minister asking European Union leaders for a lifeline today. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo is there and continues our team coverage.
Prime Minister Theresa May will arrive in Brussels as a wounded Prime Minister, but she's still willing to fight on. Now, the mission for May today is to get concessions from the European Union to the extent where she can actually put the deal to a vote in the UK Parliament and get it through. We understand, based on our reporting, that today the EU will want to help her out, but there are very clear limits as to what they can do or cannot do. The European Union really has no appetite to open up the negotiation. They're happy to tweak the language, but not really the legally binding bits of this agreement, and that is going to be a problem for May because that's really what she needs. In Brussels, Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Maria. Mario Draghi is about to end an era by halting the European Central Bank's flagship stimulus program. The ECB president is expected to stick to the plan made 6 months ago to end bond purchases at $3 trillion. Richard Jones is Bloomberg FX and rate strategist.
Pay gains in the euro area are at the strongest levels that we've seen in about 10 years. And I think given that dynamic, we'll probably see messaging from Mario Draghi, which is consistent with what we've been hearing from him for about the past 6 months.
And sources tell Bloomberg the ECB is set to lower its inflation forecast for next year when it publishes its outlook. That ECB decision will come out at 7:45 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Mario Draghi's news conference 45 minutes later.
Bonds in Italy are rallying after Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte proposed to cut the deficit target to 2.04% for next year. It's a significant concession to the European Commission after the initial target of 2.4% was rejected for breaching EU rules. However, Conte has not detailed how this lower target would be achieved.
And as European finance confronts Brexit, one prominent money manager isn't losing faith in London's banks. Dan Ibbotson, who runs PIMCO's Income Bond Fund, spoke exclusively to Bloomberg Radio.
Even under very extreme negative scenarios for Brexit, you know, when looking at the banking system there, you know, we don't believe that even under worst-case type scenarios, the viability of some of these larger financial institutions is at risk.
Tune in later this morning for our full interview with PIMCO Income Fund Manager Dan Ibbotson. You can catch his exclusive conversation with Bloomberg's Lisa Abramowitz today at 11 a.m. Wall Street time.
China is making good on a trade pledge to President Trump. We get the details on that from Bloomberg's Jody Schneider in Hong Kong.
China has resumed buying U.S. soybeans, purchasing between 1.5 million to 2 million metric tons over the past 24 hours. This is a major gesture by China toward easing the trade tensions with the U.S. Soybeans became a major part of the trade dispute, an early part of the trade dispute, with China shunning imports from farms in rural communities that had voted for President Trump in 2016. It's the first significant purchase since the two countries began imposing tariffs on each other's products. In Hong Kong, I'm Jody Schneider for Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Jody. The International Energy Agency says it's too early to tell whether oil supply cuts announced by OPEC and its allies last week will succeed in balancing global markets. The IEA slashed its forecast for new supplies outside OPEC next year because of a lower outlook for Russia, which is cooperating with OPEC, and Canada, which is separately suppressing output to deplete brimming inventories. Checking crude right now, NYMEX is down 18 cents, $50.97 a barrel. The international benchmark Brent down 22 cents at $59.92.
Shares of Swiss asset manager GAM have lost more than a quarter of their value today. The firm scrapping its dividend, predicting a $931 million loss for the year. GAM's assets under management tumbled following the suspension of star bond manager Tim Haywood. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to get the latest world and national news. For that, we turn to Bloomberg's Pat Carroll. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Nathan. Michael Cohen is headed to prison, pledging he will continue to spill potentially damaging information to special counsel Robert Mueller and other prosecutors. Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli spoke with Lanny Davis, attorney and spokesperson for Cohen, about whether his client would get a pardon from President Trump.
It was discussed by me with Michael, and the answer was that he asked me to say publicly, which I have already. He would not accept a pardon, doesn't want a pardon, and if it were offered by Mr. Trump, he would tell him to go fly a kite.
Tune in this afternoon at 5 for Sound On with Kevin Cirilli on Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 HD2. Meanwhile, the parent company of the National Enquirer has agreed to cooperate with federal prosecutors on the Trump hush money probe. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The deal announcement made after the sentencing of Trump fixer Michael Cohen, it says that the Enquirer accepts responsibility for its role in a $150,000 payment to silence a former Playboy playmate about her alleged affair with Donald Trump before the election. Now, the agreement says the purpose was to suppress the story and prevent it from influencing the election. In Cohen's court papers, he says the president directed him to make that payment before the election. A spokesman for the company has declined comment. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Calling herself a bridge to the next generation of leaders, House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi has agreed to a deal with party dissidents to limit her time as speaker, all but assuring she'll have the votes she needs to win the job. The Senate plans to vote today on a resolution that seeks to withdraw U.S. support for Saudi Arabia's military campaign in Yemen. The resolution, proposed as a punishment for the killing of dissident columnist Jamal Khashoggi, would aim to end U.S. assistance for Saudi Arabia's war against Houthi rebels in Yemen. The House voted yesterday, though, to block its members from forcing a vote on the Yemen resolution this month. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Pat, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, if the Mets can get leads in 2019, they should do a much better job of holding on to them. They already acquired Edwin Diaz, who just had 57 saves with Seattle, and now the Mets are bringing back to New York the guy who had been their closer, now to be the setup man for Diaz. Jarris Familia will sign for 3 years, $30 million. The Mets last summer traded him to Oakland. Also last July, the Yankees acquired J. Happ from Toronto, and he went 7-0, although he got rocked in the playoff game in Boston. Happ has stayed in New York, 2 years plus an option at $17 million a year. Fifth straight loss to the Knicks. They fell behind in Cleveland by 22, made a great comeback to take a one-point lead with 32 seconds left, and then the Cavs scored the last 8 points to win 113-106. Knicks coach David Fizdale.
Yeah, the game was lost in the first quarter. You just can't keep spotting teams 40-point quarters and thinking you're going to dig your way out of that. But I was proud of the way we clawed back and fought to get that lead.
And his catcher, Tim Hardaway, both with 20 points. The rookie Kevin Knox, who had 26 in the previous game, had 19 in this one. Break up the Nets, a third straight win. Held on in Philadelphia, 127-124, thanks to Spencer Dinwiddie's career high, 39. Toronto Raptors are an NBA best 23-7. They're 7-1 when their best player Kawhi Leonard hasn't played. Without him, they still won at Golden State by 20. NHL, Vegas beat the Islanders 3-2. College hoops, BC over Columbia. Stony Brook down LIU to go to 9-2 on the season. The Giants won easily last Sunday without Odell Beckham. They won it back this week against Tennessee. Beckham limited to practice due to his injured quad. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Hey, John, speaking of the NFL, it's going to stage 4 games in London and 1 in Mexico City next season with the Jaguars, the Chargers, the Rams, Raiders, and Buccaneers serving as hosts. When the games will be played, who the opponents will be, well, we won't know that till the spring when the league schedule for 2019 is announced. And New Jersey's sports betting market's closing in on the $1 billion mark. After less than 6 months in operation, figures released by the State Division of Gaming Enforcement show New Jersey's casino and racetrack-based sportsbooks took in more than $330 million worth of bets in November alone. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom with this Bloomberg Business Flash. This on a morning when futures in the U.S. are pretty much flat at this point. Stocks in Europe, they surrendered early gains. And Asian equities climbed. Investors weighing the latest progress in America-China trade relations. And sterling also adding to its advance after Prime Minister Theresa May in the U.K. survived an attempt to ouster. S&P futures right now, they're up 5 points. That's up 0.2%. The Dow futures up 40. That's up 0.2%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, 29 points higher. That is up 0.4%. British pound sterling, 126.64. That's up about 0.3% against the U.S. dollar. 10-year yield in the U.S., 2.89%. As the price increases by 4/32. NYMEX crude is lower, down 16 cents a barrel, 50.98 right now. Brent down 20 cents at 50.95. And we check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker, and now for a check of news from around the world, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Pat Carroll.
Good morning, John. Michael Cohen's lawyer tells Bloomberg he is willing to reveal what he knows about President Trump once the Mueller investigation is over. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi has agreed to a deal with party dissidents to limit her time as speaker, all but assuring she'll have the votes she needs to win the job in January. In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks lost, the Nets won. The Celtics beat the Wizards in overtime, 130-125, and the Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. Week 15 kicks off in the NHL tonight. The Chiefs host the Chargers. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
All right, Pat, thank you. 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Charles Zuma joins us now. He's a strategist at T.S. Lombard. Busy morning, Charles. Let's start with the latest on Brexit. Prime Minister May survives the confidence vote. Does this boost the confidence in you and perhaps others that her Brexit deal could get a lifeline?
I think she'd be very lucky if she can get it through. The problem is not so much that she won't, with a bit of tweaking and some help from the continent, get something which will be approved in a so-called meaningful vote of the House of Commons. But the difficulty is that after that they have to get a bill through, and it's going to be much harder on a day-to-day slog getting the details through the Commons. And so I think we're in for quite a lot of bad times over the next two or three months.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of tweaks could be made to the deal? Because it seems as though the European Commission has said, you know, other than providing more clarity on what's in the deal, they're not going to change much.
Well, yeah, no, that's true. But, you know, people have changed their minds in the past. And it may well be that they do stick to their guns. It may well be they don't. But the other side of it is that alongside this deal, there is quite a lot of the issue lies in this political declaration of intent, and they can change that quite substantially, not least because it's not binding, and probably improve the chances of the thing getting through.
All right. So as we head closer to that March 29th deadline of the split from the EU, what should investors price in at this point? I mean, are the chances better now that we could see a soft Brexit here, or are we getting closer to a no deal Brexit in your view?
No, I think it's early days to be saying this is the moment for a recovery of sterling, if that's what you're thinking about. I would think there may well be opportunities over the next couple of months when it'll be cheaper than it is today.
Let's move on to the ECB rate decision coming up at 7:45 mm-hmm. Wall Street time. A lot of policy watchers are expecting that Mario Draghi is going to make good on the pledge to end asset purchasing. At the same time, sources are telling Bloomberg that when the updated outlook is published this morning, the inflation forecast is going to be lowered for 2019.
Yeah, well, if you look at the if you look at the position on oil, particularly, it has slumped in price, and that's a big influence on the Eurozone inflation rate. So that alone is liable to lower the inflation rate. If you leave aside the dollar rate for the euro and look at its trade-weighted index, you find that actually it's been going up all year and not just at the beginning of the year when it was strong against the dollar. So what you've got is that import prices have been going down, and that's an important part of the influence on the index. So one way and another, what with a slowdown in the economy as well, there are plenty of reasons why inflation would be lower. And why on interest rates, Draghi's not going to do anything at all. In fact, he's sitting there with a significant slowdown that could be worse, and he's completely out of ammunition.
So, I mean, does that complicate then the decision for the ECB to go ahead and end asset purchasing at this point?
I think it does, but I think they'll probably end the asset purchases and move to these so-called TLTROs, or sort of special loans to banks, to try to rescue the Italian banks. Because at this stage, they can't do many more asset purchases, which are required to be in line with the ECB's capital, which means something, a very large proportion of what they have to buy is German bunds, and there aren't any German bunds being issued. The German government has a surplus. So actually, we've reached a situation now where monetary policy has been taken to its limits, and the Eurozone, if there is a slowdown, and there could easily be quite a significant slowdown, will be absolutely forced into fiscal policy or just accepting a recession. You need to remember that in the third quarter of last year, the latest data quarterly, you had a 0.2% drop in the German GDP, which in American terms would be a 0.8% annual rate, and a 0.1% drop in Italy too. So it was a pretty weak quarter, and the Germans built up a lot of inventory. So they've got a bit of an overhang there, which could weaken them in future quarters. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of difficulty there.
Yeah, to say the very least. Charles Dumas, TS Lombard Strategist, always good to get your insights. Thanks so much for joining us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. And taking a look at the euro right now, it's trading at $1.1381. Cable, pound sterling at $1.2663, and futures on Wall Street pointing to a modestly higher open. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2018 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Signs of progress emerging in America-China trade talks. China has resumed buying U.S. soybeans. It bought 1.5 million to 2 million metric tons of American supply over the past 24 hours.
The British pound is adding to its advance after U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May survived an attempt to oust her. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Alex Morales in London.
The UK Prime Minister won a confidence vote in which more than a third of Tory lawmakers voted to get rid of her. Victory came at a heavy price, with May telling her colleagues before the ballot that she wouldn't lead them into the next general election. And she still has to get her Brexit deal through a hostile parliament. That requires legal concessions she says she'll seek from the EU, but EU leaders have been clear they won't agree to. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Alex, thank you. The Prime Minister heads to Brussels today to resume her Brexit battle with EU officials.
And the European Central Bank holds its final policy meeting of the year. Bloomberg's Piotr Malowski has details in this report from Frankfurt.
President Mario Draghi is expected to confirm that the asset purchase program will peak at 2.6 trillion euros at the end of this month. The end of QE comes as the euro area economy is slowing, and Draghi may need to stress that a significant amount of stimulus will remain in place. In Frankfurt, Piotr Skolimowski, Bloomberg Radio.
Well, thanks, Piotr. And sources tell Bloomberg the ECB is set to lower its inflation forecast for next year when it publishes its outlook.
The Swiss National Bank cut its inflation forecast and showed no inclination of moving off its crisis-era settings, citing the franc's strength and mounting global risks.
And bonds in Italy rallying after Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte proposed to cut the deficit target to 2.04% for next year. Significant concession to the European Commission after the initial target of 2.4% was rejected for breaching EU rules.
Shares of GAM Holding have lost more than a quarter of their value in Europe this morning. The Swiss asset manager will post a large loss, scrap its dividend, and eliminate 10% of jobs.
And Costco and Adobe, they report earnings after the closing bell today. And this comes on a morning when futures in the U.S. are slightly higher. S&P futures up 4 points. That's up 0.2%. The Dow futures right now, 6 points higher. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures up 23 points. They're up 0.4%. German DAX up less than 0.1%. The CAC in Paris relatively unchanged. And the FTSE about 6 points lower right now. And we have British pound sterling, 126.66. That is up 0.3% against the U.S. dollar. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, John. 5:33 on Wall Street. Now let's get the latest world and national news with Bloomberg's Pat Carroll.
Thanks, Nathan. President Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, will tell what he knows once the Mueller investigation is complete, says Cohen's lawyer, Lanny Davis, in an interview with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli. Cohen has admitted to lying to Congress and Mueller's investigators about the timing of a proposed Trump Tower in Moscow and Trump's involvement in the project. Davis says that false testimony was shared with the White House before Cohen submitted it to Congress.
So there's no question that President Trump knew what Michael's testimony would be, and since President Trump was told about the tower conversations that Michael Cohen said he had with the senior Russian official and that he conferred with his client, Mr. Trump, about those conversations, the inevitable conclusion is that Mr. Trump and the White House knew that Michael Cohen would be testifying falsely to Congress and did not tell him not to.
Cohen was sentenced yesterday to 3 years in prison. Senators are expected to vote today on a resolution that would call on the U.S. to pull assistance from the Saudi-led war in Yemen, a measure that would rebuke Saudi Arabia after the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The Senate may also consider a separate resolution condemning the journalist's killing. U.S. intelligence officials have concluded Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman must have at least known of the plot, but President Trump has been reluctant to pin the blame. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez warns President Trump if he doesn't rethink his stance, Congress will step in and do it for him.
If this administration doesn't reorient our policy towards Saudi Arabia, then Congress is going to do it.
It looks like House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi will have the votes she'll need to become speaker in January after endorsing a deal with party dissidents to limit the time she'll stay in the job. A faction of House Democrats has been pushing for younger members to move into leadership. But incoming Majority Leader Steny Hoyer says he does not back the deal to set term limits. President Trump has eliminated another candidate from his list of potential replacements for outgoing White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Pat, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, one pitcher coming back to New York, another staying put. The Mets have signed free agent reliever Jarice Familia for 3 years, $30 million. He was their closer for 3.5 years. They traded him last summer to Oakland. Now he's coming back to be the setup man for the newly acquired Edwin Diaz. The Yankees liked what they saw in Jay Happ for the last 2 months of last season. He went 7-0, has now signed with the Yanks for 2 years plus an option at $17 million a year. So the Yankee rotation seems set with Happ and James Paxton joining Luis Severino, Masahiro Tanaka, and CC Sabathia. In Cleveland, a nightmare start for the Knicks. They fell behind by 22. A furious rally gave them a one-point lead with 32 seconds to go. And then the Cavs scored the last 8 points and won 113-106, the Knicks' fifth loss in a row. Three straight wins for the Nets, 127-124 in Philadelphia. Coach Kenny Atkinson says his team has been in every game.
The fact that we had chances to win, I'd say 90% of them, you know, that just bodes well, with Karras being out, I think the feeling was, we're not going to be able to compete at that high level. And it's like, well, we keep doing it. And it's good these last three games. We closed it out, though.
Spencer Dinwiddie led Brooklyn a career-high 39 points. Toronto won at Golden State by 20. NHL Vegas down the Islanders 3-2. College hoops saw BC beat Columbia. Stony Brook over LIU. Big NFL game tonight. Chargers and Chiefs and KC, two best records in the AFC. Winner might be the one seed in the playoffs and the loser the five seed. Jets host Houston Saturday and the Giants host Tennessee Sunday. And they hope to get Odell Beckham back from his quad injury. Practiced on a limited basis yesterday. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's the Bloomberg 50 issue, the 50 people who shaped 2018 in unexpected ways. Also in this week's edition, a deep dive into the startup economy. Jeff Muskus edited the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
There's a temptation to look at most of the startup economy as a bunch of fake until you make it stories. But the truth is, depending on whose estimates you're using, 50% to 90% of startups in the U.S. fail.
Read more about that and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report and Bloomberg's Ed Khoury.
Morning, Nathan. A Manhattan real estate deal highlights the shifting fortunes in global finance. Blackstone Group is taking four additional floors at a Park Avenue tower as Deutsche Bank gets ready to move out. Blackstone has signed a 7-year deal at 345 Park Avenue. Apartment renters in Manhattan got a break in November. Leasing costs fell after two straight months of increases. The median face rent, before landlord concessions are thrown in, fell 1.3% from a year earlier to $3,318, according to appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. Economic growth took off in Hartford and Middlesex counties in 2015, according to the Commerce Department, with credit going to the region's stake in aerospace manufacturing and insurance. Fairfield County's economy was the biggest in Connecticut in 2015, but Hartford County's economy grew the fastest. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Khoury. Nathan?
Thank you, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KMOX in St. Louis, I'm reporting on an EPA pesticide ban agreement with three companies, including Bayer.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Allstate estimates catastrophe losses for November at $685 million.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following the UK housing market as a gauge of prices falls to the weakest level since 2012.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. The International Energy Agency said it's too early to tell whether OPEC cuts will succeed in balancing the markets.
I'm Ed Corey. On KFBK in Sacramento, I'm reporting Qualcomm has persuaded a U.S. trade agency to consider banning imports of Apple iPhones that use Intel chips.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Lowe's is making a strategic shift in the home improvement sector. CEO Marvin Ellison's borrowing heavily from his earlier career at Home Depot. He's going to start going after those who take on the biggest do-it-yourself projects with a new slogan, "Do it right for less." That slogan from Lowe's is a lot like Home Depot's line, "More saving, more doing." Futures on Wall Street point to more buying. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up on 5:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis of some of this morning's top stories. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom, but it's a Bloomberg Business Flash this on the morning when futures in the U.S. point to a higher open. S&P futures right now, 5 points higher. That's up 0.2%. The Dow futures up 30 points. That's up 0.1%. The NASDAQ E-mini futures, 0.4% percent higher this morning. But declines in technology and energy shares offset gains in banks as the stocks Europe 600 index erased an earlier advance to turn lower. Hong Kong and Chinese stocks, they outperformed as the stocks across Asia continued their rebound. Well, there is news that the Chinese importers have bought U.S. soybeans. They pared their gains. The dollar steadying against peers. Treasuries drifting higher after overnight losses. We have the 10-year yield in the U.S. 2.89% as the price increases by 430 seconds. And crude oil is lower. NYMEX crude down about 0.5%, down 28 cents a barrel at $50.87. And we check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. Now let's get news from around the world. And we say good morning once again to Pat Carroll.
Good morning, John. Michael Cohen's lawyer tells Bloomberg Cohen will talk after the Mueller investigation is over. And NBC reports President Trump has told people close to him that he's worried about impeachment. The parent company of the National Enquirer, meanwhile, has agreed to cooperate with federal prosecutors on the Trump hush money probe. Canada says it's been contacted by a second citizen who'd been questioned by Chinese authorities. In sports, the NBA, the Knicks lost and the Nets won. The Celtics beat the Wizards in overtime, 130-125, and the Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. And in the NFL, Week 15 kicks off tonight with the Chiefs hosting the Chargers. Global news 24 hours a day on air and a TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Pat, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it is 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics, expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Jen Ryan joins us from our London bureau. She is Bloomberg Opinion editor. And a focus on your side of the pond this morning, Jen, from Therese Raphael, talking about UK Prime Minister Theresa May's victory in the no confidence vote, calling it a vote against no deal Brexit. So how does Therese read this no confidence vote?
So the best way to look at this is to think about what exactly the Tory members of parliament were asked last night. There were 317 of them balloted, and 200 gave their support to Theresa May. So that shows a really significant number of them clearly don't have confidence in their party leader. So, of course, that's not going to offer Theresa May little comfort, any, you know, sort of significant comfort. But more to the point, it shows that MPs really did understand that the question they were being asked was, were they willing to gamble on Britain exiting the European Union without a deal?
Yeah, it's probably worth noting how we got to this point.
Yeah, it explains a lot, because to be sure, Theresa May has squandered a lot of good faith along the way, and she's committed a lot of missteps. But the reason to cling to May now, and to, in a sense, you sort of have to, because her position as leader can't be challenged from within her own party for 12 months. But the reason to cling to her now is that the alternative leadership is clearly a bigger risk.
Yeah, but, you know, given that May's Brexit plan doesn't have support from just about anybody, you would think there's room for an alternative.
You would think that, but what has doomed the hard Brexiters' arguments against her leadership was this growing realization that they really actually haven't, in all this time, come up with a solid plan of their own. They've got, like, these vague piecemeal strategies here and there. They deny the problem of the Irish border, for example. They kind of want German car makers to make a fuss, but this doesn't all add up to a strategy and a plan that can really serve as a serious alternative to what Theresa May has on offer.
Okay, so given the relative lack of an alternative, then, what does yesterday's vote mean for Brexit and May's plan?
Well, this is actually not as solid as you'd like to think. So the party's still going to be divided. The fate of Brexit is still undecided. And, you know, Parliament doesn't agree on another course of action. It could be that, the Brexiters haven't lost entirely and that Britain leaves the EU deal or no deal at the end of March. All the victory has really proved is that her deal has possibly 200 supporters. But if that's out of a Parliament of 650 members, the fight is still going to be ongoing.
All right. Well, let's move on to the stock story of the morning. My goodness. GAM Holdings shares falling as much as 31% on the heels of a scandal over a star money manager. Mark Gilbert writes, there's still nobody buying what GAM is selling. Let's get some of the context here.
So what we're looking at specifically for today is a report that the firm expects to lose 925 million Swiss francs this year. And that compares to a net profit of 123 million francs in 2017. And as you said, that gave a significant knock to the shares. And at one point, it was actually down as much as a third. But Mark's been following this story for a while, and he points out that, you know, 5 weeks ago, GAM was still looking pretty cheap. And the difficulty here is that all of the deterrents to a takeover that he's been looking at and that we've all been looking at, you mentioned the scandal that's surrounding the suspension of the investment manager. It's really serving to continue to dissuade any potential buyers, no matter how affordable the stock becomes.
But what about the prospect of GAM at least delivering a return to shareholders? Can it at this point?
Well, if GAM were making money for its customers, the picture might improve. But the problem is that it's in it. I mean, GAM saw withdrawals from all of its investment strategies in October and November, and it lost money on most of them. So net outflows are continuing, and market losses and currency movements are also taking their toll. But stepping back and looking at the broader picture, the company's lost 10% of assets under management in a space of 8 weeks. This is not a good look, because the industry really depends on scale. It's increasingly important. So sure, you can start putting into place some cost-cutting strategies, but you can only trim so much before you really start to undermine the firm's recovery prospects. The bigger picture is that life isn't getting any easier for the active fund management crowd. So in the absence of markets that suddenly become easier to trade or a brave suitor, Mark Gilbert's arguing that it's hard to see what could reverse GAM's decline.
And taking a look at shares of GAM now, they are down nearly 23%. Jen Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor, thanks as always. Read more about this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. Bloomberg Terminal customers type in OPIN. Go, John.
All right, thanks, Nate, and it is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time now for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get the latest legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potisk. He's in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
12 pesticides made with chemicals shown to harm bees and other pollinators are slated to be banned as part of a proposed EPA settlement with the manufacturers Syngenta, Bayer, and Valent USA. The European Union plans to update its year-old blacklist of tax havens to include new criteria and an expanded geographic reach, possibly all the way to the U.S. And the EPA tells hospitals, nursing homes, and other institutions not to flush away unused pharmaceuticals. The goal is to keep them out of the sewer system where they can end up in lakes and rivers and harm aquatic life.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now, other legal news we're watching this morning. President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. And for more on this story, Bloomberg's Bob Moon and Peter Barnes speak to Bloomberg News investigative reporter Greg Farrell.
He pleaded guilty in September to a variety of crimes, including a campaign finance violation involving Stormy Daniels. But instead of pledging full and complete cooperation to prosecutors in Manhattan, he went halfway. He talked about campaign finance and walled off and didn't tell them about other stuff. So prosecutors in New York didn't recommend any reduction in sentence at all. He did, however, voluntarily supply information to Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation of Russian and potential collusion between Russia and any members of the campaign. And that did win some respect from Team Mueller, but that was a smaller component of this. So overall, instead of getting the 4.5 years that the statutes called for, he got a slight reduction to 3 years. But I think he wanted a Michael Flynn deal. Of course, nobody wants to go to prison, and you can't cooperate halfway. I think that's the lesson of this. If you're going to cooperate, you have to go in and tell them everything.
Well, then, is it all over for Cohen, or does he have a second crack at this?
I think it is over. His lawyer said today in court that he hasn't cooperated yet, but he would be willing to cooperate in the future. That is too late. Maybe he will cooperate, but it's too late with the sentence. He had a chance to. The prosecutors in Manhattan, in their sentencing memorandum last week, said that even if he were to cooperate, the time that has passed has sort of reduced the value of it. You know, if there's something you have to offer, the sooner you give it up, the better. And the fact that he's delayed now and it'll delay further, negates the value of it. And if you're a prosecutor, you can't go around sending the message to potential cooperators, you have to cooperate now. But if you change your mind after you're sentenced really harshly, come back and maybe we can do this. It's like you have to be firm about that, or else every potential cooperator would try to, play you and get a redo or a mulligan.
And that was Bloomberg News investigative reporter Greg Farrell speaking with Bloomberg's Bob Moon and Peter Barnes. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. Find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. And attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures this morning, they are up 2 points. The Dow futures right now unchanged. The Nasdaq futures up 20. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.